each episode of the film trilogy, The Lord of the Rings, is now in the list of the 15 top-grossing movies of all time. The third and final installment, The Return of the King, is in theaters now. It's been nominated for 4 Golden Globe Awards and is expected to get some Oscar nominations when they are announced later. The film trilogy, directed by Peter Jackson and based on J.R.R. Tolkien's epic novel, has given moviegoers some of the most memorable characters in a long time. But among all the hobbits and elves and orcs and wraiths, there is one character, Gollum, that has attracted a large following.
The filthy little thieves. Where is it? Where is it? They stole it from us. My precious.
In Return of the King, audiences finally get to see the hobbit known as Sméagol, before he deteriorates into Gollum, hateful and pitiful at the same time. It was director Peter Jackson's goal to make Gollum the most interactive computer-generated character in any film.
Master looks after us.
Master wouldn't hurt us. Master broke his promise. Don't ask Sméagol. Poor Sméagol.
The computer completely transformed how characters can be created for the cinema. Gollum is indeed computer-generated, but unlike an animated cartoon, the actor provides much more than the voice. The man behind this character creation is Andy Serkis, whose time in character is chronicled in a new book called Gollum, How We Made Movie Magic, and he joins us from NPR West. What a pleasure to talk to you, Andy.
Hi, Leanne. How are you?
I'm well. You're doing a lot of publicity for something that it took, what, some 5 years to make and some pretty Herculean feats to become the movie character that you are. Are you comfortable, first of all, with all the adulation?
What I'm most pleased about is that people's response to the character of Gollum is that he's a real character and that he's kind of touched people on an emotional level, and that people very seldomly refer to him as a CG character now. So I think all the hard work and the aims that Peter had, and certainly myself as an actor and through the writing, it's come together to make a character that I think will... Well, he's sunk into public consciousness in quite a big way, and I think that's... very much a group achievement. That's the reward, really, that people think of him as a real person.
A real person as opposed to, as you say, the CG character, the computer-generated.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get the elephant out of the room, if you don't mind. And this is the question of a possible Academy Award nomination. First of all, there is a human element in the third film. It's sort of a reward for the hard work that you needed to create the computer-generated version that we saw in Two Towers. And it's a conundrum because it's animated. You know, Ellen DeGeneres as Dora in Finding Nemo's not going to get one, and Robin Williams didn't get one in Aladdin. Tom Hanks, Tim Allen didn't get one for Toy Story. But this is not like previous animations. So what do you think? Do the characteristics exist for that kind of award recognition?
I mean, first of all, to go to those other films and to those references that you made, those actors are playing characters in an animation. I mean, the whole context for the world of those characters is cartoon, and there's no pretense that it's real. Gollum exists in a real world, Middle Earth albeit, but a real world with other real human beings in. And so it was never... Although finally he would manifest as a CG character, Gollum had to be driven psychologically, physically, vocally, by an actor. That was what Peter wanted. What you actually see on screen is an acted performance as opposed to an animated performance with a voice on top. Every single scene was shot on location, up volcanoes and in streams and in all those environments, the mountains and forests. And the drama of those scenes was created in the moment with other actors, three actors playing three characters as opposed to two actors, Elijah Wood and Sean Astin playing opposite a tennis ball on a stick and then dropping an animated creature on top. As the years passed, we evolved different techniques in creating the role, you know, so that it would have a truthfulness. He would exist in the same environment as the other characters, that all the energy that was generated on set would be captured.
Just describe him for a bit. I mean, for someone who hasn't seen any of the movies yet, I mean, you know, how would you describe physically what he looks like?
Gollum is well, the ring has given him, rather, he's not prematurely aged, the ring has given him long, long life, but he has aged, and he is wizened and shrunk, and his skin is very taut against his bones. He's 3 foot 6 high, he's bald, skinny, wiry, and he looks like a junkie. And
his skin is bad teeth,
he's very pallid, cheesy skin, which sweats, you know, I mean, he's covered in scars and bruises, and He's a tortured guy, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, not to bring up a terrible image while people are eating breakfast, but he kind of looks like a skinned cat.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, he does. And he looks like, he looks like a skinned cat. He looks like, also, he looks like a very, very old man with a kind of baby's head on.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, he does look very vulnerable at times, and like you say, he does look like a skinned cat. That's quite a good example, actually.
He sounds like a cat, and that was deliberate, wasn't it?
He was, yeah, yeah. The cat thing is absolutely true. When I was coming up with the voice is, was created, again, I was thinking about the pain of the character, and believe that, you know, human beings carry pain in different ways, and as an actor, it's quite interesting trying to spot where they carry it. You know, some people have cancer, some people limp, some people do whatever, but with Gollum, it's like, it's obviously carried in his throat, and he's called Gollum because of the way he sounds, so, well, why does he sound like that? Okay, well, I linked it to the murder of his cousin, and that moment in time that gets trapped in his throat. So it's like a muscle spasm. It's like Tourette's syndrome. It's like something that's trapped in his craw that will never go away, and it's involuntary. And I was actually thinking about all this stuff whilst I was preparing for the audition, and one of my cats, Diz, who doesn't exist any longer, literally strode into the kitchen and started coughing up furballs, which is what, you know, cats do. They lick their fur and it gets stuck in the back of their throats, and he started doing this kind of convulsion which rippled through his entire spine, as they do, and they kind of go like that, and then they go and then they spit out these fur balls, and that, I thought, hey, look, this thanks for doing that while I'm trying to create Gollum, but actually that was rather useful, because that then became and so the kind of prototype voice was came to me there.
Yeah, yeah. In the places where you had to have dialogues with yourself as this Smeagol/Gollum character, what was it like, first of all, to create these dialogues between these two voices of yourself, and how much rehearsal did you give the delivery of the word precious?
Well, defining the voice was very much about, okay, well, let's take Smeagol as the child. And this evolved in the writing. And Fran Walsh was drawing very much from her children, as I was experiencing my children growing up. And we both drew on our children for the influence on Smeagol. And so Smeagol, we decided, was this innocent childlike side. And at some point, that became lost. And there was this big loss of innocence. And as Gollum grew in his psyche, as he became more and more addicted to the ring, it crushed this child, kind of beat it into submission, and it vanished. So Smeagol was vocally much more nasal and sweeter and higher and childlike. And Gollum was this more rasping, guttural, tortured addict. I would play the scenes all in one take, so that the breath between was linked, so that there was never a sense of, well, Andy's doing the Smeagol voice now. Now Andy's doing the Gollum voice. So if I was to give you an example, I mean, you know, it goes something like, we want it. Master of the precious.
Master is false. Wicked, tricksy, false. We hate them.
No, no, no. Not master.
Yes, precious. Master. They will cheat you. Hurt you. Lie.
No, no. Master's my friend. My friend.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
And so on. And it's kind of, it was important to be able to flip between those two without any, in a heart, you know, I mean, he's one person talking to himself. So,
You call it at the end of the book, I love the idea, the workings of this warped cyber thespian's mind. You also write, I need to make room in my head for a future creature of the imagination. Now, first of all, the character Gollum is destroyed, and you, as the actor, Andy Serkis, must move on with your career. Now, I noticed on Conan O'Brien's show you suggested you might do a touring bus and truck company of Grease as Gollum. Has there been any follow-up to that?
No, I think it's either going to be that or The Sound of Music or perhaps...
Go ahead. Do it. I know it's so early.
Yeah. Climb Every Mountain, okay.
Climb Every Mountain, shut up.
What do you really want to do next? You want to play Shakespeare at the Globe, right?
I want to do whatever. Listen, I'm an actor, and acting is all about performing great scripts, great characters. I would play other CG characters, which is kind of what I'm alluding to at the end of the book. I don't see cyber acting any differently, as I'm obviously trying to make the point, to acting on stage or acting on screen conventionally. And I think what's happened with this movie is it's proven that this technique will be used more and more. There are more films that will start using CG and motion capture with acted performances. And at some point, the technology will cease to be amazing. It'll just be standard, industry standard. Well, that's, you know, it's out there. And I would easily play a CG character again if the writing was great.
Andy Serkis is the actor behind the characters Smeagol and Gollum in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. The third movie, Return of the King, is in theaters now. And Andy's book, The Lord of the Rings, Gollum, How We Made Movie Magic, is published by Houghton Mifflin. He joined us from NPR West. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, precious.
You are lost. You can never go. Can never go home.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. I wish I knew how to say that in Elvish.